Quick audience participation to start us off this morning. This is where everybody groans, right? It's not going to be painful. Don't worry. Show of hands, how many of you have traveled outside the United States? Wow, that's pretty good. The rest of you got to get out more, okay? Hopefully when you did that, you noticed that American culture is not the be-all and end-all. Like, you saw things that you were, like, a little uncomfortable with. How many of you, show of hands again, when you were traveling international, were in a country where there was a language where you did not understand? That was fun, right? Trying to figure that out. For the life of you, you're trying to say, like, ¿dónde está el baño? Or something like that, and you just doesn't, you don't know where anything is. It's hard to communicate. It's super frustrating. When we were in Haiti, some of the things we did was we taught English as a second language to some of the kids that were there. And we are nowhere near qualified to teach English as a second language, as Amanda is laughing at me right now because she was there. But we had these picture books, and all we would do is show them pictures, and they would say their Creole word for whatever that thing was, and then we would say the American English word for that, and then we kind of, you know, expand their vocabulary a little bit. Eventually, of course, all they want to do is see pictures on our phones. So we take out our phones, and I was chuckling to myself when I got to the picture of snow. And we're in Haiti. And I'm trying to, how do you explain snow to somebody who's never seen snow? Like, it's frozen rain that stacks up. I don't know what it is. It's cold. I know it's never cold here, but it's, you know, you have these culture barriers that people just don't understand these things. And you're trying, but there's a language barrier, there's an understanding barrier, there's a culture barrier, all of these things. What about the gospel penetrating those environments? How do you possibly proclaim the gospel when you don't speak the language? We have cultural barriers that don't really understand the need for a redeemer, that don't understand why we have to be saved, what we need to be saved from, who is God, all of those things. These are the things that missionaries face every single day. How will someone know that there's a God who loves them and has provided for them a way to be restored to him, a way to be forgiven, a way to be reconciled? It has to be communicated in their language. It has to be communicated in their culture. So how do you think we're doing at that? How do you think the church at large is doing with that task? Do we have tasks that remain in order to complete this mission? And more to the point, how can I, just a guy from Sussex County, how can I help with that? We're going to look at all of that this morning. Last week, we kicked off our three-week mini-series on the topic of missions by defining the mission of the church from Matthew 28, and we're going to go there. I want us to continue to build on that definition for the next 2 weeks to arrive at a robust understanding, a biblical understanding of what missions actually is. This week, we're going to spend time talking about who do we proclaim that message to, right? If the mission of the church is the proclamation of the gospel, which we said last week, that's our mission. Our mission is the proclamation of the gospel. Then who do we proclaim that mission to? Heads up, do some finger stretching, because we're going to be jumping around to some scriptures more than usual today. So just, I don't want you to pull a muscle or anything, okay? Last week we started, I'm going to pick us up again in Matthew 28, verse 16. It says this: "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" Key in, as you would think, on those words: go, therefore, and make disciples of what? All nations. And so we're going to add to our definition this week: our mission is the proclamation of the gospel, but the proclamation of the gospel to all people. Our mission is the proclamation of the gospel to all people. And I saw some of you go like, we just said missions. Why did you say people? I'm going to talk about that. I'm glad you asked. You're very observant. You might have noticed that the ESV says of all nations, and I went and I changed it to all people. You might think that I'm splitting hairs here, but I'm not. You see, some missiological history, okay? Long ago, like 50 years ago, the church used to be focused on proclaiming the gospel to all countries. So they went to every country on the face of the earth, and they proclaimed the gospel, and they did it well. Except they realized that there were many, many, many billions of people that still weren't saved. So they started to think about that. And they said, why? We have literally preached the gospel in every country on the face of the earth. So then why are there still so many people unsaved? Maybe there are more issues here than merely just crossing a geographical boundary, like language and culture, to bring up too. Here's also why, church. We proclaim the gospel to people, not just countries, right? God doesn't save countries, he saves souls, right? Many different people make up a country. And oddly enough, this is the focus of the passage. I'm going to get a little nerdy for a minute, so just stay with me. The phrase for all people in the Greek is pantata ethne. And if you hear that word ethne, maybe something's ringing in your head. Maybe it sounds a little bit like ethnic, which is exactly where we get our word. More to the point, it's not so much about reaching large regions, large countries then. Jesus is commanding them to then reach smaller ethnic groups of people that are united in what? That are united in language, that are united in common culture. Because there could be one country, but there could be many, many different ethnicities and common culture groups within that country. And so we talk about people groups instead of just countries. Smaller groups of common ethnicities with common language and culture that then we can target that with the preaching of the gospel, with the planting of churches, with the sending out of missionaries, right? A people group is not the same as a country, but people groups, watch this, share the same ethne, the same ethnic identity. This is the reality of the world that we live in, right? Nigeria, for example, is one country, but 540 different people groups. United States, one country, 500 different people groups. Ever walk through New York City? Yeah, you go through all the different, not just the famous ones like Little Italy and Chinatown and all that stuff. Now it's just like you have whole Filipino neighborhoods, you have whole Dominican neighborhoods. It's like literally you walked into a different country. It's exactly what we're talking about here. All those people groups together proclaiming the gospel to them. The world has 7.6 billion people in it. And among that, there are some 17,000 different people groups. All with different languages, all with different cultures, all with different ways that they need to hear the gospel. And so how are we doing? You may have already seen, I put in your bulletin a little handout from the Joshua Project there. I'm not going to go through everything in there, of course, this morning, but it's something for you to look at over lunch. But notice one thing. We're talking about how we're doing. Over 7,000 of the 17,000 people groups are unreached with the gospel. 17,000 people groups. There are still over 7,000 that are unreached with the gospel. What do we mean when we say unreached with the gospel? We mean there's no church. There's no Bible in their language. There's no missionaries that are there. There's no way for them to hear the gospel. Over 41% of the people do not have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Put it this way, church, and this hit me right in my big forehead. 3.15 billion people are on their way to hell without access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are so spoiled in this country, aren't we? I mean, how many Bibles are in this room alone? We've got churches on every corner. We've got one next to us, right? We've got churches. We got everywhere. Picture not having that. Picture not knowing that you need a Savior. And maybe somehow you have this, you look at creation, you know there's a God. God, the Scripture testifies to us that creation screams that there's a God. You might feel this longing to know this God more, but you have no way of knowing what, how he's revealed himself to you, how you'd be saved, what danger you're in. 3.15 billion people. And specifically, if you've ever heard of the 1040 window, I got a slide for this, which is, it's also in your handout too. That's the region between 10 and 40 degrees north of the equator, right there, right? Northern Africa, Middle East, India, China, Malaysia, where a lot of the Compassion International kids come from, by the way, right there. 5 out of 6 of the people groups that we need to be reaching. 5 out of 6 of the unreached people groups are right there in that in that 10:40 window. One of my pastor buddies from Acts 29 has an alarm set on his phone that goes off every day at 10:40. So he is reminded to pray for those people that don't have access to the gospel. Pray for church planters, pray for pastors, pray for missionaries, pray for the gospel to penetrate those areas. Very convicting. Because, of course, I made fun of him because it was a random alarm that went off at 10:40. And what was that for? That's stupid. And he's like, this is my 10:40 alarm to remind myself to pray for the people in the 10:40 window. Pastor loser. Got it. Church, God has done deep convicting in my own soul throughout this preparation. And I get to share that with you. Right? The fact that I'm just such a closed-minded, comfortable American. It's like, I got my needs met. 3.15 billion people brought to tears in Starbucks thinking about that. Looking around, people going in and out that they know. Other people don't know. Millions, billions of people don't know. Jesus commands us as disciples to proclaim the gospel to all people, and there's much work left to do. And we should care about this. Why? Because God cares about this. It's the consistent message of Scripture. Consistent. You might think, well, it's just kind of in this one part. It's Matthew, and he's telling the disciples to go. No. All of the Bible tells us to go. We should care about this because God cares about this. And how do we know that God cares so much about this? Because all of Scripture is focused on missions to all people. All of Scripture is focused on missions to all people. It's not just our passage today. And I want to give us four quick stops in the Bible to prove this. Okay, this is where I told you we're going to be running around some Scripture. Okay, four quick stops in the Bible. We're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to go to Jesus himself, the New Testament church. And then we're going to talk about the future church. So let's go to the beginning. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. God has a conversation with a guy named Abram, and he says, you are going to be my guy. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country. Sound familiar? We're like on what? Page 8 on my Bible. And he's already telling people to go. Go from your country and your kindred, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, watch this, all the families of the earth will be blessed. You're thinking, okay, this is a conversation somewhere in the Middle East with a weird guy and God, and he's telling him to go, and he's telling him, okay, all of the families of the earth, you will be blessed. He's telling him to go to a, he doesn't even know where he's going yet. But he's telling him to go. And he's telling him all of the nations, all of the families of the world will be blessed through you and your nation. And guess what? The original language here is going for smaller people groups. The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament uses the word for tribes here. He says, go. All of the tribes, like little small families, all of the tribes of the earth will be blessed through you. The promise is repeated four more times in Genesis and a few more times in the New Testament. Clearly, the blessing of all people through Abraham was a thing that the Bible was proclaiming. How? Maybe some of you aren't up on Old Testament history, how the pieces hold together, right? This is your jam, right? Maybe this will spread some light. Some light bulbs will come on for those of you who find a lot of the Old Testament dark and scary, which there are parts that are dark and scary. Abraham would be the father of the nation of Israel, right? We've all sung that song, Father Abraham, right? He'll be the father of the nation of Israel. Israel would be God's nation. They would receive the law, they would receive the prophets, they would receive the temple, they would be in charge of the sacrifices. All of that points to what? Jesus. Jesus came through Israel. No Israel, no Jesus. Jesus came from Israel, so then, therefore, all of the nations, all of the people of the world are blessed with the knowledge of salvation and the ability to have salvation through Jesus, who came through Israel. That's what God is telling Abram on page 8 of my Bible and your Bible. The Old Testament had the focus of missions to all people. It has a missional focus. It's not just about Israel. It's what Israel would bring about for the whole world. And God knew that. That was his plan. The Old Testament is focused on mission to all people. So is Jesus himself. You might be thinking, duh, well, that's the passage we're in right now. Jesus is telling everybody that. Yes, true, but it's a sentiment in other places as well. In John 4:42, very briefly, the Samaritans were saved. He said this, Jesus is referred to. We know this is indeed talking about Jesus, the Savior of the world. He knew it just wasn't the Jews at that point. It was starting to become understood. The Samaritans were understanding. He's the Savior of the world. But also, and perhaps more famously, Jesus gives a restatement of this very command to his disciples in the book of Acts when he was commissioning them after, of course, he was risen from the dead before he ascended back. Look at Acts chapter 1. We talked about this at care group the other night. Jesus talking, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So Jesus has risen from the dead. Oh, good, you're not dead. Oh, good, maybe there's still hope. Maybe we can kick the Romans out. Maybe we can get our city back. Maybe we can have our kingdom. Wrong, I'm going back to the Father. But before I go, here's a restatement of your mission. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What the resurrected Jesus tells his disciples. Jesus himself, of course, had an international missiological focus. And it's slightly weird for us to think about, like, okay, Judea, Samaria, what does that mean? Think about it this way. Highlands, you will be my witnesses in Vernon, in Sussex County, in the United States, and to the ends of the earth. We talked last week, we can't ignore the mission that's in our own backyard, right? Our own families, we can't ignore the mission, the unsaved people that are in our own families. We have Sussex County, we have the United States, we have the whole world. And that's what Jesus commands of us. Jesus clearly had world missions in mind with his commands, and Jesus himself was focused on missions to all people. So was the New Testament church. Our friend the Apostle Paul, who we'll get back to in a few weeks in 1 Corinthians, writes about all nations, and he even gets this, mentions Abraham. First, some background to the church in the first century, right? So Jesus is gone, the gospel's there, people understand the God, church is being established, many people are being saved, the Holy Spirit has come, has given them the understanding that they need. Many people we see in Acts will be saved. That's starting to happen. So they had the Jews that understood this message, and now they have everybody else. The everybody else is a biblical word called Gentiles, right? That's the everybody else. Either that time you were Jewish or you're nothing, right? Or you're everybody else, right? That catch-all word is Gentile. Think that caused a little bit of trouble in the church? Think it caused a little bit of conflict in the early church? You had the Jews, and then you had the Gentiles. And the Jews are like, we don't hang out with these people. They don't do what we do. They don't eat what we eat. They don't, I don't understand how the gospel makes all this together. But it does. So imagine being a Jew, knowing your history, knowing your tradition, knowing all of your worship, the glory of the temple, all of that. God couldn't be serious about missions to all people. We're supposed to love and preach the gospel to people who aren't Jewish. Really? Yes, really. Paul was very serious. Paul, a former Pharisee, tells them. Galatians 3:7-8 says this. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, not just those who were the genetic sons of Abraham, those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify who? The Gentiles. By faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham. What? The gospel's not in the Old Testament? Yes, it is. Preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. He says, guys, it's not about your family line anymore. Jesus has come. Jesus fulfilled the law. We are saved by faith. in Jesus. So we're all in the Father. That's why we sing that song, right? We're all in the family of Abraham. By faith, we're grafted in, the scripture tells us. Through faith in Jesus. Paul, bringing in the scriptures, bringing in Genesis, he says, guys, yes, we are supposed to preach the gospel to not just Jews, to Gentiles, because that's been God's plan all along. And he quotes Genesis to tell him that. It's always been God's plan to provide the offer of salvation to all people. That's what the promise of Abraham was all about, guys. And even further, guess what Greek word he uses for Gentiles? Ethne. Justify all ethnic groups by faith. The Bible has one message, church. Paul declares that the early church was to proclaim the gospel to all people. And guess what? We are the continuation of that church, right? We are the continuation of that church. And remember, we're living between parts 3 and 4 of the big story. If you had to break the Bible down to 4 parts, we have creation, right? What happened shortly after creation? We fell. Original sin of creation, right? We have the fall, where we rejected God as king over us, and we decided, nah, we know better. What did that do? Fractured our relationship with God. We're separated by God because of sin, because of that. And as a side benefit, we also have sickness, we also have evil, we also have death, we also have all of those things that came into the world as a result of that, right? God had a plan. The plan was Christ. It was redemption. He offered the redemption in Jesus Christ. Jesus did the work perfectly. He lived the perfect life that we couldn't live to please the Father and satisfy his demands. And he paid the price for us on the cross perfectly, atoning for the sin, taking all of his wrath. And then on day 3, he rose from the dead. Right? We just celebrated that a couple weeks ago. Thus proving that the sacrifice was accepted. He ascended, we know in Acts, now he's with the Father. Okay? Now he's going to return. That's Mr. Pinky. He's going to return. We're right here between redemption and restoration. One day he's going to return. And that means so much when we're talking about missions. Christ will return. And then one day, the proclamation of the gospel will cease. We won't have to proclaim the gospel anymore. We won't have to preach anymore. We'll praise. We'll spend eternity praising God for what he did. But what does that say for the people that did not know until that time? It's too late for them. Christ will return, and the proclamation of the gospel will cease, and then judgment will come. And who will Christ judge? Every single person who ever lived. Every single person. So if every single person is going to be judged by God, every human, no matter what language, no matter what ethnicity, because God doesn't have an understanding problem when it comes to languages and culture, he's going to judge them. We are all human beings made in the image of God. There's no ethnicity that's superior to another ethnicity. Racism is completely sinful and unbiblical. Because we will all stand before God as human beings. I agree with one speaker I recently heard when he said that there's not different races. There's one race, human. A lot of different ethnicities, but there's one human race. And we are all responsible. We all will have to give an account to God. All of humanity is separated by God, by our sin, or from God, by our sin. All of humanity is offered life in Jesus Christ by faith. If they can hear it, the offer's still there. We need people to go and tell them that. We can have healing, forgiveness, restoration, eternal life in Jesus. This offering is for all people, regardless of ethnicities, which is why we need to proclaim the gospel to all people. Because again, Jesus is coming, and the new kingdom will be for all people. Revelation 7, and other places in Revelation, but Revelation 7. 9 and 10 says this picture of eternity. And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Great multitude from where? Every ethne in the Greek. Every people group. Every ethnicity is before the throne. Everyone from every tribe, every people, every language, standing before Jesus, worshiping forever. If the picture of eternity, church, includes people from all people groups and all ethnicities, we have to proclaim the gospel to all people. We think what it will look like, then we need to act now. And so that brings us to the so what. Okay, we're here in Sussex County. How can I help? The first part is you're already doing that. You're aware. We're Americans. We can just kind of do this really, really good, right? We don't need anybody to help us ignore the needs of other people. And as long as I'm okay, I'm good. Right? Take care of yourself. I'm good. But this is the first part. Being aware. Being aware that there are billions of people, most of them in the 1040 window, that can't hear the gospel right now. If they wanted to. Hopefully you're more motivated after awareness to action. And I'll tell you three things that we can do practically. Pray, give, or go. First, pray. Pray individually. I challenge you to put international missions, specifically the 1040 window, on your prayer list. Pray for God to send church planters. Pray for God to send missionaries. Pray for him to raise up church planters. Pray for him for the church Bible translators. Like Mary Lou, like Sam and Maureen that we sponsor, right? To translate the Bible into their language. Do that individually. But also, it's crucial that we join together as a church and do that. That's why prayer meetings are really important. That's why we have a prayer meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. That's why tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to pray at 6 o'clock here. And we're going to pray for some things like international missions. And we're going to pray for some things like, God, do your work in those hard, dark, scary places. You guys saw where that thing was. You can get killed for being a Christian in some of those places. We need prayer, church. You know how persecuted the church is in there? I shared an article on the book the other day. The Christianity, somebody reported, was the most persecuted group now. I think it was from the BBC or something. In some of those areas, you get killed for being a Christian. Those are hostile areas towards Christ. They need prayer. They need prayer, church. Pray for the gospel to penetrate the dark, scary places. Pray for the work of Bible translation. Pray for the churches that they would exist, first of all, and that they would be strong and gospel-centered. Second, give. Give of your time in prayer, of course. Give of your time encouraging our missionaries. Mary Lou still has some prayer cards back there. We're going to get some from Sam and Maureen. They'll come around in a couple months and give us an update. But maybe more give of your time, too. Give of your time. We support missionaries right here in Sussex County, like Today's Choice. Like, people are coming to know Jesus in the midst of crisis pregnancy. Heard an amazing, powerful testimony of that the other night. Give of your time in ministries that we support right here in Sussex County, like Today's Choice, like My Brother's Place. Right? People are coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ in the midst of what? Their financial troubles, their job troubles, all of that. We have an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Give of your money to these places. Give of your time to these places. Talk to Lori Purst. Talk to Alyssa or Doreen about some of these opportunities that we have. Give of your time. Give of your money. And when you give to Highlands Bible Church, we support missionaries. We're going to talk a lot about the church next week. We support missionaries. We support Bible translators. We're part of the Acts 29 Network, which is an international diverse network of churches planting churches that send people into that 1040 window, that train up pastors and send them there. And when you give to Highlands Bible Church, you give to Acts 29 to help do that. And third, go. We had pray, we had give, but maybe go. Maybe God's tapping somebody on the shoulder here today that says, guess what? I'm giving you a burden for those people that can't hear the gospel. maybe you do need to go. You've seen people who are looking at retirement say, yeah, I'm going to spend my retirement in a different way. I'm going to do it as a missionary. Maybe kids coming up through kids, you know, they're like 20, right? Kids to me now. Kids coming up through college, thinking about career choices. Why not working for a missions organization like Wycliffe, who's translating Bibles in IT or whatever else you're doing, right? Plenty of opportunities to do that. And let's face it, we live in Sussex County, probably one of the whitest places in the world, right? I go to these church, these planting things, and, you know, Acts 29 is all about diversity, diversity, diversity. I'm like, cool, 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 but there's not much where we are. We're all pretty much look like me, and I can't really do much about that, but that's here, right? Drive to somewhere else. Drive to Patterson. Drive to maybe Newton. Drive to New York City. The world is at our doorstep here in New Jersey. It may not be necessarily right in our town. But think about missions. Think about short-term missions. Think about maybe full-time missions. Think about these things. Just because our region is not diverse doesn't mean that people all around us are not diverse. If you go a little farther out, we have hundreds of people groups within a short drive of here, not to mention New York City, right? Think globally, but we act locally. We think in a global mindset, but we act locally. And that's what we want to do. That's why we spend 3 weeks talking about missions, because we want to open your ideas, your minds to the awareness of what's going on. What's the awareness of what's happening? 5 out of 6 unreached people groups, 3.15 billion people in that 1040 window. Are you kidding me? Awareness of that. We think like God does. We are his witnesses to proclaim his gospel in Vernon and in Sussex, the U.S., and all over the world. And our mission is to proclaim the gospel to all people. Let's pray that we will have success in doing that in the area of missionaries, in the areas of church planning, in the areas of what we talked about, praying, giving, or going. Let's pray for an increased burden for this. That's a dangerous prayer. Hear that, pray that. That's a real dangerous prayer. God, help me have more compassion for those who are lost. Not just around me, around the whole world, right? God, as we spend just a few moments thinking about what you have called us to, it's sobering. We get so wrapped up in our lives. So wrapped up in our families, so wrapped up in our schedules, our jobs, our finances, our marital strife, whatever it is, Lord. And those are things that we all need your gospel to come to bear on. But there's a world out there that needs you. Help us, Lord, to think globally, to think that your mission just doesn't apply to us. It applies to all peoples. Help us, God, to have compassion for the lost. Help us to see your mission as you see your mission. And would you please establish your church to the glory of your name? We pray in Jesus. Amen.